come before your throne. We are thanking you for who you are this morning. We're thanking you for your presence in our midst. It's that presence we count on. Thank you for the heart you have for us, the desires that you have, what your word clearly portrays to us. And we're coming to ask you to meet us each individually by your Spirit, through your word. Father, that you might build us up into the Lord Jesus Christ. We might see him more clearly today. We might understand that way of faith more clearly. And so we're looking to you to do wonderful things for your praise and glory. And we trust you for it. And we're trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's main point is, or thought that we're expounding is this: the just live by faith. All right? The just live by faith. Core value we're thinking about is that matter concerning faith. That's a real basic word to Christian vocabulary. And not just the word faith, but as you have down here, we have a few that are on there. It's basic because there's all the synonyms: believe, trust, wait on, rely on, take refuge in, hope in. There are different expressions that come throughout the Word of God of this experience of faith. Faith is real critical to our experience. It's not like, and sometimes we have a vague view of this whole matter of faith, but with faith it's real critical. Listen, look at this thing under B. It says there that you're saved by faith. We'll come back to that in just a moment. This is how you're saved. I don't particularly like to use that word, but anyway, it's a good way it works. Everybody knows the word. If you're saved by faith, it would help to understand what faith is all about. Without faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without that, without this quality of faith, it's impossible to please God. There's something. It's impossible to please God. All right, then you go on there. It says, there's one, Romans 14, 23. Go read that one. It's a tough one. Whatever is not of faith is sin. For that reason, it would be to our benefit to understand faith. We really have to get into that. Now, the question is, do we really know what it means? I hope by the end of the day we've got a pretty good, pretty clear concept of this. But this is a great burden to me. In fact, this burden, the story I'm going to tell you, it has a lot to do with my entire ministry. But everybody has to know where you fit in ministry. You have to know. You have to know what God called you to do. Or else you just your conscience gets killed because there's so much could be done. What is my part? What have I been called to do? I have to finish that part. I sat with my sister, or didn't sit. I was standing by her dresser in her home in Florida. The year's probably about 1964, but it's so far back I couldn't tell you 64, 65, 66. It was sometime before my sister, who was 3 years older than I was, left the house. We had moved from Pennsylvania to Florida. My life had been kind of turned upside down in an awful hurry. I didn't expect that. And we moved from a very large church to a much smaller church, and in this church there was a vital pastor. And I was beginning to hear truth, really hear it for the first time. My other church is pretty formal. This one has a little more truth to it. And so truths concerning God and faith and what it meant to know God and eternity began to swirl in my mind. And on that particular day, my sister and I stood there and we had a discussion of what faith is. I was a little disturbed because there's some things that you can be vague on and there's some things you need to be real clear about. You get a concept like love, you can be vague about love. Right? What is love? And we can wax on eloquent about what love really is and how it feels and what it does and all the rest of it. But when you get finished, in one sense, it doesn't matter a whole lot what conclusion you come to. But then there's other concepts where it is important what conclusion you come to. If you were to get me to go into a plane and put on a parachute, if you were to get me to do that, and then got me to the appropriate height and threw me out, all right, with this parachute, I need more than a vague concept of how we get this parachute open. All right? The theory of the physics behind parachutes is not very important to me. What I want to know is, how do we get it open? And I don't want to know that you just have to pull something, because I don't know, I've never seen one of those, but I imagine there's all kinds of other things that you could pull. You could pull the wrong strap and the thing comes off, all right? I want to know more than this. And that's where I was that particular night, because if I'm saved by faith, and I got this part clear, that when you pass out of this life into the next one, your fate is sealed. I did have that one clear, all right? So that you can't change your mind after you die. And I'm on this side, and I want to make sure I'm right on that side, but I can't go over there and check it out and make sure it's there and then come back. And on that particular day, the two of us spoke back and forth, and the vagueness of my concept of faith was killing me. I had to have this quality faith, but I really did not know that I had it. And I really couldn't define it. I could give phrases about it, but phrases aren't enough. And I'm afraid, and this did influence my whole ministry, because when I finally came to that place where I understood what Christianity was about and began to understand, I was conscious of this, that in the world I lived in, there were a lot of people who were around Christianity all the time who used Christian vocabulary and confused the use of vocabulary with the experience of the reality of it. That because they could say, I know God, they thought they knew God. Because they said that they were living by faith, that because they knew that everything depended on faith and they could talk about faith, they assumed that they had faith. Now for them that might have been fine, for me that wasn't fine. As I spent these years as a teacher of the Word of God, and my primary concern is the simple and basic issues of Christianity and trying to do everything I can to help people get an absolutely clear picture of where the ripcord is and what it feels like, and so that they will pull it accurately, so that they will know the experience that God intends for them to have. Now, that is what a purpose of our class is today. Because two problems come up. Again, the first problem is that one that we have mentioned here, that you can have vocabulary without content. All right, so you have the vocabulary, you don't have content. So one of the things we're trying to do is add content. But one of the problems that comes up when you have vocabulary, particularly in Christian realms, because the enemy that we are in combat with, because he is out there. If you don't have a biblical concept of vocabulary, he will give you an unbiblical concept of vocabulary. Right? That's why there's a whole bunch of cults out there. They all use pretty much the same vocabulary that you'll hear in your church every morning, every Sunday morning. It just means something completely different. And erroneous. And so it is to our benefit to take the time to ask the question, what is faith all about? Biblically. Now, at that point, we need to make another comment. The word faith is used in different ways in the Word of God. If you were to go to something like Baker's Dictionary of Theology, all right, I don't know if you would go there, but it's a great little summation book to have. And you go there and you read the section on faith. He goes, this J.I. Packer actually wrote that particular article. And he goes through a lot of the ramifications of faith and the different ways it's used at different times. And there's a lot of complications there. We could spend all day going through all those complications. We are not. We do not have time for all that. Because when you get done and you sort through all the delicacies of these theological thoughts, there is a core point that has been made in the Word of God. And that part's crystal clear. That's what we're going to be hammering at. I'm not saying this is a complete discussion of faith. But we are concerned about the discipleship side of it. The just have to live by faith. You have to live by faith. I have to live by faith. What does it mean for us to live by faith? All right, we're on the next page here. Okay. So we don't have that. That's not our goal. Now, what we're going to be thinking about are those fundamental principles of this life that's out in front of us. Now, I'm going to take a little bit of time. I'm going to jump on to the second session right away. We're 15 minutes ahead, see, so I can get going. Actually, the way I've set these up, I found out the first time that in the very first session we had, we did this a year ago, the first session was a loss because we had so much confusion getting everything ready. Now, everybody, they were so efficient this morning, you're all here, seated in place. So I give this half-hour session at the beginning in order to make sure that when I really get into business, everybody's in place. But now you're in business, so let's go. There's no sense in wasting time. Let's just move forward. What is faith all about? And we're going to start right here. Number one, this is session two now. We're in session two here. Faith is a dimension of relationship. Faith is a dimension of relationship. It's a function, it says there, of top of relationship. Faith, that's the first point there, says has no meaning apart from relationship. Now, why do I say that? Because there are problems with the concept of faith. My one concept that I've run into too much is that faith is sort of a thing that I have, a commodity I have. That it's something that I have in my soul, which I can pull out at appropriate times to do spiritual business. All right? I put it on the paper here. It's a commodity. It's like money. It's spiritual money. All right? Spiritual money. Well, when you get into a problem situation, what do you need? You need more faith. Right? So, I'll pull out my faith. All right? And I present it as if that faith is something that is just a quality of myself. Right? Now, you have to get this out of your mind because that is not really what faith is all about. Faith is about a relationship. You can't talk about faith unless you have a second person. It takes two people for faith to be expressed. All right? So faith is not something I can have in myself and hold there. All right? So people, again, they'll face a problem and say, well, I just didn't have the faith for it, as if that faith was just there. What wasn't there was a relationship wasn't there. A depth of relationship wasn't there. Does that make sense? First one, it's not a commodity that I have. It's not as if I had enough, this would happen. And again, you can see some of the errors that come out there. If you had faith, you would have. And we'll come back to this later on because this prosperity stuff is so common in the United States. If I had enough faith, this was literally, I heard this one on a radio program one day, that you drive a Ford because you have Ford faith. And I drive a Mercedes because I have Mercedes faith. That was literal. I mean, I heard that. That guy said it. All right? You see, in your world, you only have enough of this commodity faith to be able to believe for this. But I have enough to be able to believe for that. Now, we'll come back. There's another problem with that, at least another problem. But anyway, we'll come back to that later on. Because the idea is not that. It has to do with a relationship. All right, the second thing, it is not creative. This is another problem we come up with, this matter concerning faith being creative. Now, we're going to go outside of the realms of Christianity. We're going to go to the world out there. They have this as one of the popular things. We go to certain of the self-help seminars. What do you want to be in the future? I want to be a millionaire. Okay. Picture yourself a millionaire. Okay, now I'm visualizing millionaire, 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 millionaire. Visualize yourself in this wonderful house with all these things. Oh yeah, I'm visualizing. And the thought being, and this is what they'll continue with, that if I think of it enough, if every morning I get up and say, instead of, I look in the mirror, that's literally what you're told to do, look in the mirror and say, I am worthy of being a millionaire, I am a millionaire. Not I'm going to be a millionaire, I am a millionaire, and somehow, if I keep this up long enough, I will become a millionaire. Because it will follow. Faith forces it into existence. Faith creates it. All right, have you ever, you've probably seen all those Christmas movies where Santa Claus is always involved and they always have to believe in Santa Claus. And somehow, if I believe hard enough, the reality comes there. Now, I know this, they're silly stories, but they can come into our realm as if the capacity of Santa Claus to operate depends on me believing in him. Does that make sense, what I'm saying there? This is a real problem, because that's not the way it works with God. His capacity to do what he wants to do is not dependent on my faith. Now, there is a limit to that. There's an area in which there is a way, well, it appears this way, but I want to say that at the beginning that you can't create anything by the power of your faith. Faith is about a relationship. Now, how would I put that? Well, faith, again, has to do with a relationship. Okay, now, when I was growing up, my mother was anti-gun. I mean, she was anti-gun back in the days when nobody was anti-gun, but my mother was anti-gun. My mother was so anti-gun that when my grandparents gave me, it was one of my prize presents, they gave me a holster, pistol, or a six-shooter for my birthday. You know, I misplaced that thing. I was so disgusted with myself. I thought, maybe I left it outside. What did I do with that thing? Best present I've ever had was what I felt with that when I was a little kid. And I went and lost it. I was so sick. It was years later when I realized I didn't lose that. My mother didn't opt to tell me about it when she took it, but I do not know. But my guess is, we've never talked about it, we never discussed it, but you see, she's anti-gun, alright? Now, when I was in high school, because I had a friend who liked to go dove hunting down in Florida, I thought about, it'd be great to have a shotgun to go with him and go dove hunting. I'd never done any hunting, but I thought this would be a great idea. Now, all the belief, I could go to my mother and say, I'd like a shotgun for Christmas, and I can believe, and I can believe, and I can believe, and I can believe, but it isn't going to happen. My mother is anti-gun. My dad had a 22, and every time he would bring a 22 out to shoot rabbits or something and keep them out of the garden, she was irritated. Why do we have that out? So we did have it in the house, but there it was. So I can't change who she is by my faith. All right? If I'm going to walk, if you would, and this is a little off the beam, but if I'm going to walk in faith with my mother, I'm going to have to find out who my mother is. Faith responds. It does not create anything, because it has to do with relationship. So no matter, it's not as if I can believe God to do certain things and he will do them because I'm believing hard. You know, I'm trusting God for this. You can't do it that way. That's why, and again, we'll come back to this later on. Mr. Carey used to tell us this. I'm going like, I saw him as a great man of faith. I mean, he trusted God for all sorts of interesting things and they just came past. I'm going like, well, that's amazing. And he came to me, or we were talking about one day, and he said this, faith isn't the issue, God's the issue. Don't even think about faith. So we're having a whole conference on what he told me not to think about. All right? But our whole purpose in the conference is to get you to think about something else. Because you just have to live by faith, but that faith comes because of a relationship. It grows out of a relationship. Aim at the relationship. And you will exercise faith, even though you're not particularly aware of it. All right, let's keep going there. Oh, yeah, we got five more minutes. We can get down to the next point, too. All right? Faith cannot be fully understood apart from the ongoing nature of this relationship. Ongoing relationship. Now, this is an illustration I've used, and I am not going to say that it is deficient or it is a wrong illustration. Because anyone who has ever taught realizes that no illustration is ever right. If you press it, it falls apart somewhere, normally. You try to get ones that don't fall apart at the big point, all right? Now we have an illustration which is given because faith involves the whole idea of committing to something. You not only know what is going on, but you commit to it. And there's two common ones. I don't use this one very often, but it's a commonly used illustration. It has to do with the chair, that you have faith in the chair because you sat down in it and didn't you're not going to fall on the ground, so you went ahead and sat on it. All right? But there's a problem with that illustration as far as what we're going to be aiming at today, and I want to note this at the very beginning. The problem with that is that you don't have a relationship to that chair. All right? When you get up, you probably won't say, thank you very much for your kind help in my morning. All right? You're not going to thank it. And if you did thank it, we would, anyway. So I don't want everybody to turn around and proving I'm wrong on that. But anyway, so you got the idea. So you're not going to do that. Why? Because you don't have a relationship with that chair. When you leave, you'll find some other chair. All right? Which will do just as well. Now, it does illustrate that when you believe, when you have faith, you do act on it, and it means an action of commitment, but it does lose the element of personalness to this. An illustration that I do use, which comes closer but still misses it, is the illustration of getting on an airplane. You get on an airplane. What are you trusting? Well, you're trusting a pilot. All right? The pilot of nuts and bolts are not going to get you anywhere unless there's a pilot to pilot it. And you're counting on his skills. Because if I was sitting in the pilot's seat, you don't want on the plane. All right? Fortunately, I don't know enough to get us off away from the dock. All right? So that you're safe. Because I can't get it out of there. But you don't want somebody who only flew once and they flew a Cessna, whatever those small planes are today. I don't even know what they are now. But anyway, whatever this is, you don't want him sitting in the seat. You trust him, and all the faith in the world will get you killed. All right? Because you've trusted the wrong thing. Because the value of your faith depends on the person you're trusting. All right? So you trust the pilot. But again, even though that does, again, illustrate the fact that you have entrusted yourself into the hands of another. When you get done at the other end, you'll get off the plane, and you never knew who that pilot was. Sometimes you see him, he waves to you on the way in, but you don't know whether it's the pilot, the co-pilot, or a fancy-dressed attendant. And you really don't care. At least I don't care. I'm assuming somebody else has figured out whether the man is capable of getting us to the spot. All right? So that when I get off that plane, I'm finished with this relationship. And at that point, the whole concept of faith breaks down again. Because faith is an ongoing relationship. It's something that you don't just have at a moment and then you step away from. It is something that comes about. Your situation comes because you are in an ongoing way relating to a person. So that we'll conclude here, take our break, with what it says at the very end there. Faith is a response of trust towards a person. Right? Faith is a response of trust towards a person. And the key to faith is the person you're trusting. And the depth of the faith is determined by the depth of the relationship that you have with that person. All right, well, we'll stop there. Come back at 9:45. All right, I've got right now approximately 9:30. Come back at 9:45 and we'll go from there and begin to see what that relationship is really about. But let's pray. Father, we come before you. We give you thanks for opportunity today to wait in your presence. We're asking you to enable us to fulfill your purpose. And we're looking to you for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.